Good morning, Stavanger.
Good morning.
And welcome to our first Sunday of Advent, and welcome to church. We have a heap of announcements, as you can see in the bulletin here, and so I'll just go through them. There's a church board meeting on Monday at 7 p.m. The Tuesday Bible study meeting Jesus in Mark resumes on January 9th. Bible study at Shady Oaks on Tuesday at 7 p.m. You can see me for more details. Youth group on Wednesday at 7 p.m. here at Stavanger. And you can see Pastor Eric for more details about that. The Deacon Board meeting is on Thursday at 7 p.m. and that's at the Mathiasen House. So, please be there. And Sunday school kids and teachers, the Christmas program, practice and pizza. So I can't come for pizza. Okay. 10 a.m. on Saturday, and that's December 9th at Stavanger here. And then next Sunday, there's a fellowship dinner after worship service. This is for an appreciation and farewell to Pastor Eric, Gianna, and Emma during the fellowship dinner. And the Stavanger Christmas program is on that same day at 6 p.m. So you're all invited and welcome to come there. Stavanger Outreach will be filling Christmas baskets on December 11th. Anyone who wants to donate yummy cookies or wrapped candy can drop them off at church on Sunday, December 10th, or Monday, December 11th at 9 a.m., not p.m., be really wrong, at Faye Baylor's house. Thank you very much for that. There will be no Sunday school or confirmation for December 17th, 24th, and 31st. Worship is at 10:30 a.m. as usual. December 24th, we have two services, a 10:30 a.m. worship service and then a 6 p.m. candlelight service. And then the offering plate, as usual, is not going to be passed out during the service, but it can be found in the entryway along with the Deacon Caring Fund donation box. And I think that's about it. We have this, the prayer notes, and there's a Someplace Safe Spread Christmas Cheer. So this is for the outreach ladies. So if you want more information about that, that's here. Okay, well, with that, I hope I haven't missed any announcements. No, we got them all. Okay, perfect. So, let's begin with why we've actually come here to worship the Lord. And we'll start with our call to worship from Psalm 80, verse 3. Hear then the word of the Lord. Restore us, O God. Make your face shine on us, that we may be saved. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we've been through another week, Lord, and you brought us to the beginning of a new week, Father. Father, we've come with many burdens and many things on our hearts, many different struggles and joys and distractions, Lord. Lord, we pray that you would restore us here now, Lord. Lord, and be with us as you promised as we were gathered. Be amongst us and grow in our hearts a love and a desire to be more and more like you, desire to know more and more your forgiveness and your love, and to spread that with others, Lord. Lord, help us to grow in communion with you. We pray that this worship service would be filled with love and filled with longing for you and for your coming, Father. And come now amongst us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, now we'll sing, O Come, Emmanuel, as we come up for lighting the Advent wreath.
Come,
to send the Christ child. From Isaiah, verses 9 through 2, read here. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned.
Rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains would tremble before you, as when fire sets twigs ablaze and causes water to boil. Come down to make your name known to your enemies and cause the nations to quake before you. For when you did awesome things that we did not expect, you came down and the mountains trembled before you. Since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you, who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. You come to the help of those who gladly do right, who remember your ways. But when we continue to sin against them, you are angry. How then can we be saved? All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. No one calls on your name or strives to lay hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have given us over to our sins. Yet you, O Lord, are our Father. You are the clay. You are the potter. Or we are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of your hands. Do not be angry beyond measure, Lord, and do not remember our sins forever. O look on us, we pray, for we are all your people. Thus ends the reading of God's word. We'll now have a moment of prayer, and we'll remember our missionaries from this daily prayer notes today. Let us come before the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, Father, our sins have swept us away like a wind, Lord. We realize that our anger and our unthoughtful words and the bitterness of our hearts is always a reality that we deal with, Lord. Lord, we pray that as we come before you here today, that we would be able to call upon you as our Father and realize that you are looking to us and you are here for us, that you are a God for us and that you have brought your forgiveness. Father, we pray a blessing over the service and the reading of your word. Lord, there is so much darkness out there. Lord, as we light the candles for Advent, we wait on a hope that the light of the world will come again and shine forth to all men. Lord, we pray that we could bring the message of this light, the message of your gospel and your grace to others. Lord, we thank you for our missionaries who are serving overseas. We thank you that that you have put it on their hearts to go out and to serve you and serve your kingdom, to bring your gospel to faraway lands. Lord, we know that it's hard and that many of our missionaries struggle with health issues and the burdens of being far away from home. Lord, we pray that you would be especially with Christina Smith for her ongoing healing for her kidney injury. And it could be another year, it says, till the doctors know how well her kidneys will recover. Oh, Father, would you bring a miraculous healing there? Would you strengthen her and strengthen her family? Most of all, send your Spirit to comfort them and remind them of your good and your promises. Lord, also be with our governments, that they would uphold justice and peace in the land, that they would stay chaos, and that they would enforce law and order, Lord. We pray that through that, your gospel could go out peacefully and amongst the different people here in North America as well. Lord, we thank you for your work in the government and that we do live in a land that is generally stable. We thank you for the police officers, and we pray that you'd continue to be with them, strengthen them in their duties. We thank you for the hospitals and for the many great infrastructure that we have in this land, and the schools as well, that there would be, as the Christmas season approaches, that there would be light even within those schools, and they could teach the kids well. Father, we pray that you would just bless our gathering again, Lord, and that your Spirit would be here. And bless us as we hear your, or as we get our hearts ready for the hearing of the word and the receiving of communion. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I invite Pastor John Jewell for his sermon.
The small mishap with our Advent wreath this morning is nothing compared to what I almost burned down with an Advent wreath some years ago, but that's another story. So, invite the congregation to rise as you're able for the reading of God's Word. Our Gospel for this morning from Mark chapter 13, verses 24 through 37. I read in Jesus' name. But in those days following that distress, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, men will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory, and he will send his angels to gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that it is near, right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard. Be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with his assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. This is God's word. You may be seated. Ready, set, wait. It's not what you usually anticipate after ready and set. But Advent is about waiting, about watching. Our commercialized culture doesn't do Advent, or not so well anyway. Number one, we don't like to wait, and people ready to make a buck can do so if they can figure out a way where you have to wait less for their services than somebody else's. But we don't like the watching and waiting, the reflecting, the preparing, the repenting that goes with Advent. Advent is about looking back at the coming of the promised Messiah. Advent's about looking forward to the promised return of that same Messiah. Generations came and went after hearing the words of the prophets that God had sent, promising the Savior to come, the one to set things aright in a world that had gone terribly wrong. And finally, He came. But we're getting ahead of ourselves. We'll talk more about that in the coming weeks. But now, in Advent, not only are we looking forward to celebrating when He came back then, it is a reminder that He is coming again, and we are to be ready. And Jesus wants us to be ready. Hence these words. So looking back at our passage, it's in this discourse of Jesus talking about what is happening in the last days, but also it can be a bit difficult to sort it all out, because there's a couple of things going on here. One, He's at some points appearing to be talking about the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple, which was to happen some 40 years after He was first saying these words, in about 70 AD, when Romans put down a Jewish rebellion and the temple was burned and destroyed. It was a terrible time. And in the preceding verses, Jesus seems to be talking about this, but then also together with that, what is happening, what will happen leading up to His own return. And it's kind of put all together. One of the commentators that talks about this is, how do we sort this out? He said it can be thought of as like looking at a range of mountain peaks from the perspective of standing at some distance and looking across a plain and seeing these mountain peaks on the horizon. And you see one after another, and they look like they're just all together on a wall from that perspective. But if you were to go in a plane, an airplane, over, instead of on a plane looking across, but on an airplane looking down on those same mountain peaks, you can see that they may be separated by many miles from each other. They're not at all scrunched together as they appear from the perspective of standing on the ground. And prophecy can be seen like that. Whereas these events Jesus is talking about, the beginning of the end does happen with Jesus' death and resurrection. It is the last days that were ushered in, even as Jesus rose from the dead and ascended and is promised to return one day. The people in Jesus' time and the writers of the New Testament, Paul and others, seem to think that Jesus was coming back in their lifetime. And what he said, you know, this generation will not pass away. Well, how do we understand this generation? Well, that generation did see the beginning of the end. They did see these events from afar and experience the fulfillment of the beginning of them. We don't know how to sort that all out. But we do have a clear word from Jesus about how we are to live now in waiting and watching for His return. What do we wait for? What are you waiting for? What have you waited for this week? What did you wait for this morning? Well, maybe don't say. It might be the person next to you getting ready for church, right? What do we wait for? What do we watch for? The sun has been spewing out things that the sun spews out on occasion, and when it comes in proximity to the Earth's magnetic sphere, we get the aurora borealis. People have been waiting and watching, going out at night, seeing if they can get a glimpse of the spectacle. What kind of things do you wait for or watch for? Maybe you hear there might be meteor showers and you go out and watch and you watch and you watch. You want to catch it. You don't want to miss it. Maybe you're watching the sale ads for that great Black Friday, Cyber Monday, whatever Tuesday or Thursday sale it might be. You don't want to miss it. What do you watch for? What do you wait for? What don't you want to miss? Some things we wait for are things we're not looking forward to. Maybe it's their colonoscopy or root canal or a cancer biopsy result. Landfall of a hurricane or a hailstorm coming this way when your crops are in the field. What do we wait and watch for? What does it do to us? Think about things you wait for. You wait for that package you ordered in the mail. You watch for it so you can get it from your doorstep before a porch pirate takes it for his own. Sometimes the things we watch for are because of harm potential. You watch for deer when you're driving at night. Or you watch for deer from your stand because you want to tag one. Either way, if you're not paying attention, you might miss it. You might miss something that you want to receive, or you might miss something that you wanted to avoid. Jesus used the terminology of watch, of wait, of expectancy. And it will be a day that some are looking forward to and that some are wishing they could avoid. How do we watch and wait? It depends who you are. It says, He will send His angels and gather His elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. His elect will be gathered and brought to Himself. Those He's chosen, those who have believed in Him and trust in Him as the Messiah, as the Rescuer. It says in verse 26 that people will see the Son of Man coming. It'll be something that no one can avoid. Though some will wish they could. And it'll be preceded by startling, disturbing, earth-shaking, literally, signs and wonders. And if we read in the preceding verses, we see all of the man-made calamities, the natural disasters, the social upheaval, the political chaos. Kind of sounds like the nightly news or some of our daily lives. But it will intensify until that time He comes. This news can be disturbing, but for you who believe in Jesus and trust Him as your Messiah, as your Savior, these words are meant to be of comfort. Rescue is on the way. And He wants you and I to be ready. He doesn't want us to be caught by surprise. He's warned us ahead of time. He's promised ahead of time that he will come and that he will gather his own. And so he says, pay attention. Watch. You don't want to miss it. And the thing is, how do we watch? How do we wait? When we're waiting for some of these other things listed, depending what it is, we might try to distract ourselves and, you know, get our mind off of it. Like a watch pot never boils kind of thing. You don't want to fixate on that. But watching is not a, in the way Jesus describes, it's not a passive activity. It's not something we should just sit around and try to distract ourselves until it happens. No, that's the exact opposite. He says, watch, be awake. Well, is Jesus promoting a perpetual insomnia? So that if you're a real believer in Jesus, you have to walk around with toothpicks holding your eyes open? Hardly. Because you're so anxious about his returning. No, it's not at all it. Matter of fact, it's the opposite, I think. To be watchful is not to get distracted by all the stuff in this life and to be anxious about it. But rather, to be at peace and go about life in the way he has instructed. He gives us a little clue here toward the end of our passage. He said it's like a man going away on a journey. Verse 34. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned task. And he tells the one at the door to keep watch. He's gone on a journey, but he's given us stuff to do. He's given us a way to wait and watch while we are still here, while he's still coming. How are we to watch? How are we to wait? Well, we need to know him and who he is and what he said to us. He's given us his word. His word is where we wait and watch, where we get to know him. And we find out how it is he wants us to live while we are still yet here. How it is to trust in him, to be with him, to spend time, to hear from him, to speak with him in prayer, to be in fellowship with one another, to come and receive him at his table, to serve him in the ways he's called us and given us to our neighbor, and to surrender our lives to him, to realize whatever it is we're so attached to in this world, it's coming to an end. All the stuff we get anxious for, all the stuff we chase after, all the stuff, if only we could just get... Those are the things that put us to sleep, that we stay awake worrying about and trying to get. That's spiritual sleep. Those are the things that lull us, that draw our attention from the fact that Jesus is returning. Or it's the stuff we're anxious about and we turn on the news and it's just a megaphone of chaos and brokenness and hopelessness. The stuff that we fret about. Who gets elected or who got elected or who's going to be. Spiritual sleep. No. Here's how we are given in the Word to stay awake. You can turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I've written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command they gave you, and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles. First of all, you must understand that in the last days scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is this coming? He promised. Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters, also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By that same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and the destruction of ungodly men. But do not forget this, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destructions of the heaven by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless and blameless and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote with the wisdom God gave him. Therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, now and forever. Amen. That's how we wait. David says it well in this brief psalm, number four. I'll leave you with this morning. As we wait, hear these words. Psalm 4, answer me when I call you, O my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Be merciful to me. And hear my prayer. How long, O men, will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love delusions and seek false gods? Know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call to him. In your anger, do not sin. When you're on your beds, search your hearts and be silent. Sacrifices and trust in the Lord. Many are asking, who can show us any good? Let the light of your face shine upon us, O Lord. You have filled my heart with greater joy than when their grain and new wine abound. I will lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. That's how we watch. Offer right sacrifices. Trust in the Lord and lie down and sleep in peace at night until he comes. Amen.
Let's now rise for our closing chorus. Go now in peace.
shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.